Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Nation podcast show. Oh, you're listening to that Knuckle Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knuckle Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT Holton and Josh Rhubarb Brown. Fellas, it's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world and we know it. And I feel fine. Nobody's going to join in. Like, I kept waiting for you to join in. Now it's just...
I bet Leonard Bernstein never knew that frat boys in Athens would yell his name out in the bars.
Yeah.
You know, when that song gets played.
I bet frat boys in Athens in the 80s didn't know Michael Stipe was going to be gay one day.
Yeah. I think everybody knew.
Did everybody
know? B-52s also.
Yeah, it's kind of clear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think he's androgynous. I don't think he's gay.
The androgynously gay duo. Wait, that's not... What was that? Ambiguously. Androgynously was basically what they were. I guess androgynously would have been if Pat were involved in it. Do you remember Pat from Saturday Night Live, Josh? Do you remember Pat?
It's Pat.
I don't think so.
Pat was the character from Saturday Night Live that you were never sure if she was a guy or a girl. She was Pat.
Oh, okay.
It was a pretty famous character. Pretty hilarious character, too. And... every time you thought you had it figured out, they would throw a wild card in at you.
Just another thing we're not able to do anymore in comedy.
Can't laugh at androgynously gay duos. Anyway.
Can people make jokes anymore?
No. Not unless you just don't care. You know? I mean, I have been enjoying, I will have to say this, but I have thoroughly been enjoying The Machine. And Bert Kreischer. And
have you just seen it for the first time?
No. I've seen The Machine before. I haven't seen all his other specials that he had on.
Have you seen?
I have, and that's what I've been laughing hysterically at. Like
I've been watching The Cabin a little bit. Nikki thought it was the dumbest thing ever.
Really? Like, oh my god!
Yeah.
Oh,
she didn't storm out, but she kind of stormed out. Sort of, but I don't care.
Like when
we're not really talking anymore.
When he's waxing his butthole and the woman walks up, that's just
I haven't seen that
hilarious.
Part yet.
Yeah. How do you explain that to your wife?
I guess if you're married to Bert Kreischer, you just like get it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just it's just understandable at that point. But yeah, I mean, for real. What about let's see, on there the first episode when they butcher the emu? Yeah. They butcher the emu.
Yeah, I saw that one.
And then there's the episode with what's her name? His name? Kardashian husband? Caitlyn Jenner. Yeah, Bruce Jenner. And he's like geeking out in it because his dad meets Bruce Jenner and he's... So basically, if you haven't seen this show, Bert Kreischer goes up in the mountain, smokes a lot of dope, and hangs out with unusual comedians and other people. And, I mean, is that a pretty good summary of it? Yeah, I mean, I think so.
Yeah, pretty much. It's, the idea of it is he's getting away. He's detoxing. It's kind of like what we did at John D. Howard's house, but
with a lot
more money.
I'm about to say, this is what my wife thought we were doing when we were at John Howard's house. She thought we're just smoking a lot of dope, butchering an emu, someone's butthole is getting waxed. This is what she assumed.
Well, I mean, all that was a possibility, let's be honest. I mean...
it was, but we ended up just ordering pizza and shopping for hats and then drinking lattes while we looked at gaudy houses in John's neighborhood.
Dang. Yeah.
It's like middle-aged dad porn. Like, that's what that sounded like.
It really
like.
Was. Very middle-aged dad. Man.
And we made a new friend, too.
Wait, except for the
we
porn.
We made a new friend. His name is David.
Yeah, David.
Yeah.
David.
David looks like... I saw a picture of John and David sitting on the couch together, and I'm pretty sure David looks like the main character from My Name is Earl. Like, he full on has the whole.
I think his name is Earl.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. JT's apparently Earl's brother. So,
but I think David's my spirit animal. Just like he comes in, and he recorded our podcast, and he comes in there and he's got like the mustache and like one of those like cool trendy camo caps, and he sits down and he's eating my goulash. He's like, man, this stuff's really good. Where'd you get this recipe? I was like, man, there's this guy named Cowboy Kent Rollins on the YouTube. He's like, dude, I love Cowboy Kent Rollins. And I'm like, you know Cowboy Kent Rollins? Like, I haven't met anybody that knew who Cowboy Kent Rollins was. And so we talked about Cowboy Kent Rollins for like 10 minutes or so. Yeah. And then he made, or I guess he made John some gumbo, some Cowboy Kent Rollins gumbo. So yeah, shout out to Cowboy Kent Rollins, guys.
Hmm. Yeah, and David just comes in. He's got this aura of like niceness, politeness around him. It's like, I like this guy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Just a nice, mild-mannered dude. Is he part of
John's? But not like in a boring way, though. You know, like, very, like...
Just, no, not boring, like, but just, like...
Stable. Emotionally stable.
Like,
he's one of those guys, like...
this guy for 3 hours, yeah. And he left and hugged
us. Is he part of John's early morning discipleship workout group?
No. No.
No?
Nope.
Okay.
But he is a part of a Bible study, I think. Okay. Somewhere.
I would like to apologize for calling that early morning workout group. Yay. I feel like that was a low blow on my part.
Well, it was probably a low blow by some of them too. I'm just saying. So maybe. Look, they announced Manager of the Year finalist today for baseball. Since I'm sure you guys have not been paying attention in the least, who do you think the National League Manager of the Year finalists were?
All I know was
I haven't looked.
All I know that Brian Snitker was not listed. Because
he wasn't.
Because I saw Ken quote tweeted it. So therefore, I do not care. I do not care about the finalists. I do not care about baseball. I do not care about MLB. I do not care about basically anything anymore.
Okay.
Because that
it's amazing. He really did not. This doesn't shock me because they hate Atlanta. So Snit didn't make it. I would say, Dave Roberts. Because what a great job it had to be of you know, that team of underdogs.
I know Mattingly was one of them.
Mattingly? Okay, I could see that, though.
Yeah, I can't. That's reserved. I mean, even though
What about Jace Tingler? Was Tingler on there?
He's the San Diego Padres coach? Yes.
Yeah. Tingler,
so Tingler, Mattingly, and you were incorrect on Dave Roberts.
David Ross.
That's correct, David Ross.
David Ross. Mm-hmm. Okay. I could see those three all being deserving.
Right? Why David Ross?
But
why
I think David Snit
Ross?
Is too.
Like I don't get the David Ross.
The Cubs had a good year.
No, they kind of didn't. They kind of didn't.
They weren't supposed to win that division. They weren't supposed to be contending. The Cubs had all sorts of payroll issues. I mean, look at like I don't know how much input he had on this, but Yu Darvish had a heck of a turnaround year.
Yeah, but Chris Bryant was absolutely terrible. It was like they sacrificed the ability of Chris Bryant to make Yu Darvish good. So on the AL side of things, there was Kevin Cash, Charlie Montoyo, who is the Toronto Blue Jays.
Toronto, and
do you know the other one? Rick Renteria is correct, who got fired and replaced by Tony La Russa. Like, what in the world? I have no idea what the White Sox
can are. Can I just say, I know we have an election coming up this week. But I have seen the Craig Calcaterras of the world, the liberal baseball commentary elite.
Lay it on them.
Tell me over and over that Tony La Russa, at 76 years old, is too old to manage a baseball team. He cannot connect with these young players.
He can't connect with them.
The game has passed him by. Mm-hmm. He is from the pre-Moneyball era. He's not going to wow bat flipping. He's not going to wow.
He managed Ricky Henderson, you know what I mean? Like he managed Ricky Henderson and all the steroid dudes of the late 80s in Oakland. Right. But he can't relate to Tim Anderson.
He could hang with the Bash Brothers, but he's not going to be able to relate to Tim Anderson. But to tell me that, and basically it's, I do get that it's a bad hire because I think anytime you just hire a guy you like and you don't interview anyone else, you're probably making the wrong choice. And that's basically what Jerry Reinsdorf did. He just overruled the GM and was like, hey, I'm good friends with Tony La Russa. Let's hire him. Like, this is not like a mom and pop gas station.
I'm completely on the other side of this thing from you guys, because I think this is the worst hire in Major League Baseball in the last 15 years.
Yeah, but wait till JT was going somewhere.
I think
JT
what Calcaterra is saying, but, though, makes sense. That's like where no, I,
right.
Okay.
It does. Yeah, but it does JT make sense. Is going somewhere. But JT these goes. Are the same people that on Tuesday.
Oh, gotcha.
Voting for there a guy a year old. Okay.
Okay. I get it now. I'm with you.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
Tony La Russa is incapable of running the White Sox and managing 26 men, but Sleepy Joe is entirely capable of running
totally
an entire
country. I
missed
where that joke was going.
I don't see how
I
that
appreciate
adds
y'all
up.
Making no. me wait for it.
I think La Russa is a bad choice simply because not only has he been out of the game for 9 years, but whenever you just jump to, well, I'm going to sure. hire my friend, it usually doesn't
yeah.
work out.
Yeah.
It usually doesn't work
I don't
out
think
like,
it's,
that way.
I don't think it's a great hire, but I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I'm kind of in the Jeff Donahue camp on this. I don't really care that much. But I do. My immediate reaction was what JT just said. I thought it was hilarious because it was like, yeah. he's right. The same people.
Yeah.
We're like Joe Biden, Biden.
What exactly did Rick Renteria do to get fired?
Rick Renteria is the guy that sets like, up Major League Baseball teams and then turns them over to someone else to go win the actual World Series with. Because he's done it three times. Three times he's right. Assuming the White Sox end up winning the World Series, which there's a really good chance they have a shot at it here in the next few years, it will be the third time that Rick Renteria has been the manager before a team went and won the World Series and basically got dismissed for no reason.
The White Sox have a good
yeah.
young court. Like they've got some young
players.
They
can
players,
pitch,
dude,
they can hit. Yeah.
Moncada, Tim Anderson, Giolito is a yeah. legit ace. And they got even more guys. I mean, I mean, Abreu is like kind of old.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well,
I mean, but he can be
bit,
filled
but,
in for it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but
that's
gotta,
a good
football.
That's
a
good baseball team
guys
for sure. So.
I'm just trying to name on the top of my head, but holy cow. And then they make the playoffs. And what exactly did Renteria do here to get? I mean, if this had happened in Atlanta, we'd
yeah,
be losing our
right.
minds.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the problem I have with it is like, I'm kind of like, So I don't have a problem with the way La Russa manages. I don't have a problem with him being old. I don't have a problem with him being stodgy or any of that kind of stuff. Where I think it makes no sense is that this team is not going to respond to any of those things at all. I think there are baseball teams that would respond just fine to that. But the White Sox have kind of built this whole new culture and identity that they're this young, kind of we don't care, sort of like the Padres, kind of us against the world mm-hmm. mentality, and then you get Tony La Russa, which just, I mean.
What it reeks of is the owner not liking the style of baseball that
maybe
they play.
Maybe so, yeah.
And reaching back into his past and basically bringing in Tony to, you know, straighten these guys up and whip them into yeah. shape and no more of this backflipping stuff and no more of this showboating and blah, blah, blah.
Just playing,
which is
just playing
gonna,
devil's advocate.
You know,
but
they're bump heads.
And he might have been this way, but was Tony La Russa that way when he managed other teams? I don't remember him being.
I mean, somewhat.
I never liked him because he seemed boring to me. He's always seemed boring to me. I remember when the Tigers and the Cardinals were playing the World Series, and they had this. They were comparing the managers, and I think it might have been maybe Fox, you know, or whatever. They were comparing Leland to La Russa, and you know, what they're into, what their hobbies are, what brands they like. And it was like La Russa, Tommy Hilfiger, Polo, Leland, Marlboro. And I just thought it was hilarious. I always thought he was just kind of this boring dolt. But has he been known to not like bat flips and like fun?
No, I just think
stuff?
That's the that no, because he hadn't been known for it, but that's just the way baseball was played up until
well, I mean,
3 years
but
ago.
Was it?
Do you remember
but,
how I mean, boring okay, the Cardinals okay, were with La Russa, though? But, I mean,
they had Scott Spezio and stuff. Like they
yeah, but
like,
they had no personality, Josh. Like,
I just used him as my example.
But yeah, I was wondering where that
I don't
came from.
He did meth. It
and
made
I go,
him interesting.
And maybe this is going too far back and it's not relevant, but I go back to the, to me, like La Russa, and even the, it's a million years ago, but the Bash Brothers, like that might have been the most, like if you put the Bash Brothers, okay, in that clubhouse, okay, next to like Ronald Acuna seems like Pete Orr compared to the Bash Brothers. I mean, so the notion, and it seems like mainly younger fans, your young 20, 21-year-olds on Twitter and your Craig Calcaterras of the world just have this notion that, like, let the kids play is this new concept. I'm like, y'all, we grew up watching Ricky effing Henderson and the Bash Brothers, and they were having a lot of fun, and there was swag, there was chains, Neon Dion, you know? So, like, I've never bought into the whole idea that, like, before Ronald Acuna, baseball wasn't fun. There was no bat flips.
But they've certainly endorsed it the last couple of years, you know, with the let the kids play and all this stuff. I mean, I think Jose Canseco, Ricky Henderson, they were kind of the outliers.
I think this is
a majority of baseball was kind of lame and kind of buttoned down, you know?
See, I don't think that. I just think this is the newest marketing gimmick. Because I don't think baseball's always been, like, lame and buttoned down. Like,
I don't either. That's what I'm saying. I especially the 90s. You know, there have been players here and there that have been kind of, you know, boring. But, like, that's just, you know, sports, I guess. But I've never – and honestly, I think I'll die on this hill. But I've never – every time I see an article written or, I don't know, like a thought leader – on MLB Network kind of talk about baseball as if it is this new, exciting, let the kids play thing. And the implication is that it didn't used to be. Honestly, I laugh. I mean, I really do. Cause I watched Neon Dion, even like Alejandro Pena, Juan Berenguer. I mean, all these guys
for a call
flair and personality.
Klesko.
For a call. Yeah.
Call Juan Berenguer for great deals on the Toyota Camry.
He sells Fords actually.
No, but you brought up Dion, but remember, okay,
I know.
Tim McCarver went in heavy on Dion and the selfishness of playing two games.
You're right.
Ken Griffey Jr. put his hat on backwards to take batting practice, and people lost their minds because he wore his hat backwards.
Yeah, so the difference, though, is this. Baseball players didn't change. Baseball players have had personality all along.
Right.
MLB embracing that personality and releasing it is what's changed. But like Josh said, that the personality's always been there. They just kind of tried to cover it up. You know, like they didn't tell you that Mickey Mantle was screwing three girls a night and drinking as fast as he could. They didn't tell you Daryl Strawberry was snorting up the entire first line from first to, you know, home to first base. You know, I mean, they didn't tell you that stuff. But now we have social media so they can embrace it, and they don't have an option, really, because basically you're going to find out anyway.
So that's true too. That all of what Ken said is true, and like the Braves front office, definitely, as we saw in that last 30 for 30 with Deion Sanders, definitely like kind of scoffed at how he was, right? The old white man, you know, the old curmudgeon, you know, kind of, you know, didn't love that personality sometimes. But to Ken's point, they've never really changed. They were always there. Also, another thing too is the baseball fan, in my opinion, back then, in general, it seemed like didn't have a problem with it. They were not easily offended. The baseball fan didn't care if Daryl Strawberry's on the cover of the paper for cocaine. Kind of just in general, it's just like, I mean, they might get mad. If Chipper did something, you know,
no Mets
like,
fan was real upset about that. Braves fans, you know, we would love to eat it up and tell them how terrible Daryl Strawberry was. But Mets
but
fans
now,
are like, okay.
So here's the culture now, and I'll use this example. Morgan Wallen is caught making out with girls at a bar in Tuscaloosa, and he is, like, canceled. Now Morgan Wallen's married, and what he did was shitty and all those things, you know what I mean? Like he is a total douche canoe, right?
He's married.
Morgan Wallen.
I'm talking about a country music singer. I'm using this example.
I just didn't know who he was, so that's the reason I was asking.
More than my hometown, Seven Summers.
No,
nothing.
You're not missing out.
He's actually not bad.
I don't think he's very good. But anyways, what I'm saying is he's a huge country music star. Young.
He's like no Jason Aldean, Josh. JT.
So I'm trying to use this example. So he, about a month ago, he's caught on TikTok making out with girls at a bar, and he has to come out and apologize. You know what I mean? Because of our culture is so easily offended because everybody is the arbiter of, you know.
Imagine if TikTok had existed when Conway Twitty was around.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The baseball fan of 1990 something bad would come out about their player. Like, I remember I was at the game. It was 92 or 93. I was at the game when Otis Nixon returns from like a 30 game suspension for being on cocaine.
And it was longer than that.
It might have been longer
because he missed like the beginning of the next season.
Okay. But I remember
because that was like the first time
it might have been the first 30 games of that season though or something.
Maybe I just remember being like I was like 8, 9 or 10 maybe, and like he comes out and everybody cheered him on like it was awesome. Like the baseball, like the culture was just different. Like you just didn't you would get mad at a player or upset at a player for doing something bad, and then you kind of move on because it's kind of like I don't know, none of your business. Now. It's everybody's business. You are the arbiter of morality because you have a Twitter account. It's very, very different. And I forget where I'm going with this, but I guess I'm saying that baseball players have always been fun, crazy, wild baseball players. Now maybe they're just it's just the bat flip. It's like the bat flip has become this this beacon of fun. When honestly, if that's your only thing you're pointing to, not you JT, but like just the 22 year old fan, everybody's obsessed with bat flips, and that's like their that's their example of fun. I don't know, it's kind of silly. It's just shallow. These kids don't know what they're talking about. Yeah. Also,
I don't know, I just think Tony Ruiz is gonna suck.
Yeah, he's pretty old and boring. He was old and boring when he retired 9 years ago.
He's kind of a jerk, too. Like, have you ever heard, like, any public comments he's ever made or any interviews?
Really
he's
just, uptight.
So this is what I was going to say earlier. The real reason that they don't like him is, and but they're, like, softening on him now, is because he came out against flag protests and kneeling at the beginning of the games, and he said that he thought it was terrible. And then
he
changed his opinion on it. He said that so-and-so talked to him, and now he's changed his opinion on it, and he understands it, and all this stuff. So basically, he said what he had to say to get whatever job he needed. You know.
Well, there that explains Craig Calcaterra.
Yeah, he's a 76-year-old man. Most 76-year-old men are going to be kind of against.
Well,
that
I mean, stuff, I'm not a big fan of it. Like, I'll be honest. Like, I think it's kind of dumb to protest the country where you're getting to make millions of dollars to be a baseball player before you play said game that gives you millions of dollars to be a baseball player. But
my thought about it, and has always been, if I don't attend a sporting event in a year, chances are I haven't even pledged allegiance to the flag that year. If it's that important, it should be something we do all the time. Let's just skip it. Just get on with the game. We all live in America. If we didn't like living here, we wouldn't live here. And why do
but
we
see,
need to do this?
I disagree. You know? I think it's I realize that it's PR. I realize that it's something special, but I think it's also a part of the more we practice cultural togetherness of celebrating the country. I think there's a unity that can come out of that, and I don't like when there's not unity coming out of it. And people say, "Oh yeah, well you don't like people being downtrodden and stuff." Yeah, that's a whole different discussion. But like, I don't think baseball's before games is like the magical place to suddenly make it matter.
You know, it used to be, and until a couple of years ago, the NFL would have the players out there, but it used to be that was just something you did before the team even hit the field.
And I'm fine with that.
Know?
Like,
you did it, you stood up in the end, and then the players ran out.
Right. And I would be fine with that.
About our business.
Like, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I'm not saying don't play the anthem. I'm saying quit making it a part of the pregame celebration. Like it's something we, you know.
Personally, I can't watch a baseball or especially a football game unless the players line up in the middle of the field with interlocked arms, kind of, you know,
it really
chest high.
It really tells you that Black Lives Matter, right, Josh?
We need to show unity.
Before they did that,
all wearing the same clothing is a sign of unity.
If they don't do that sort of thing, I just assume that, like, Julio Jones hates Matt Ryan and Matt Ryan hates Julio Jones. You know what I mean? Like, like I just would assume that they hate each other.
I would assume that they just want all
together.
Black people to die. I mean, that's really what I get is when they do that, it lets me know for sure
symbolism.
They don't want Black people to die.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I can't think of a better sign of public unity than wearing the same shirt.
Ah,
Yes. I mean, if all three of us go out to a bar and we're all wearing the same shirt, people will be like, oh, are you guys
friends?
Can we all
wear
our own together?
Stupid shirt? Yeah. Like, I think that would be kind of, yeah.
Yeah, playing on the same team together and, you know, sharing locker rooms and showers, you know, that doesn't mean anything. I need interlocking
arms. These guys
arms.
Shower together. We believe you guys are unified because you all see each other naked, like, all the time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's kind of how that works. Hey, AJ Hinch was the other manager hired, which is kind of crazy because he's a cheater. And he just got a job like a second after the World Series. Yeah.
Wait, who hired
the
AJ
Detroit
Hinch?
Tigers?
Yeah, Detroit.
Which? Oh, really? Which is who the White which Sox should have hired.
Well, the White Sox actually sent out a press release on Twitter announcing the hiring of Tony La Russa, and on the graphic, it had AJ Hinch's autograph.
Oh my God, really?
Signature on the graphic, so it tells you they really wanted AJ
Hinch.
That's
hilarious. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. Yeah, they said it has Tony La Russa on there, our new manager, and then on the graphic, there's a signature, and if you read the signature, it definitely says AJ Hinch on it. So yeah, the guy, they apparently couldn't take any jobs, him and Alex Cora, because of the cheating scandal, couldn't take any jobs until the end of the season. And apparently, the Tigers, like, texted him right as the World Series ended, and were like, we want you on a plane tomorrow. And they didn't hesitate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm sure there was no conversation with him before the World Series. Never. Not even a little bit.
Well, that's my biggest gripe. You're hiring someone in a very important position, and you're not going to, like, take time to interview people and make sure you get the right guy?
Well,
They're just filling out a lineup card. Like, I mean,
I love how Josh changes from one week to the next. Like, 3 weeks ago, Josh was like,
it is the American League. It's not real baseball.
3 weeks ago, Josh is like, you know, I don't give managers enough credit. There really is a lot of thinking that goes into this. And then the second the season's over, Josh is like,
not in the American League.
Filling out a lineup card.
See, dude, I can manage an American League team, but by the start of next season,
any difference,
let me get
right?
to know everybody.
Like, they're all exactly the same now.
You fill out a lineup card. I mean,
in LA,
like, you have to have a little bit of knowledge about your bullpen. That's about it.
I don't think NL is going back with a DH. I think Rob Manfred wants to keep the status quo, go back to normal baseball. I don't think they're going to pull the DH.
Well,
a special circumstance.
What I heard is they were going to have the DH in 2022 anyways, regardless of COVID or
whatever.
Well,
it would have to be agreed upon in the CBA, and concessions would have to be made to the players for them to agree to do it. So.
Which I think they would agree on that.
I think they will, too.
Don't most of the players want it?
Because it means more jobs.
What it means is you're going to have, what is it? How many teams are in the NL?
Oh, well,
16. Is
it
16 and
14? Yeah, something like that.
So what it means is you're going to have 16 more big contracts given out for NL teams needing to fill DH. So I think the players would go for it because overall it raises their salary numbers because that's 16 more big bats, potentially, that could get contracts.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, that's one more position.
Well, it's a place that, and it's not just that side of it, JT. It's also that a guy like Freddie Freeman, right? He's 30, about to be 32. Freddie Freeman might could get a 7-year contract that would make him like 39. Because if the DH exists, then if he gets where he can't play first base physically, you can still stick him at DH, and he's still worth
very
the
true
money laid in the contract. So it actually
probably the difference in a 5-year or 7-year
right,
deal
and it's not me. Just it's not just the new positions that get made. It's the length of contracts for big, especially big players
having a fallback
right,
plan
that can happen.
Well, and you've seen that too. You've seen that in these long term deals for Asian guys, Miguel Cabrera.
I thought you said Asian guys for a minute. I was like Asian. why are Asian guys?
Shohei Ohtani. Okay. Masahiro Tanaka. No, but you see, they're American League. So you see, we'll sign Albert Pujols for the 10 worst years of Albert Pujols. But, you know, the last four of those are going to be him DHing, where we're just getting his bat because he's going to be too broken down to play. You know, Miguel Cabrera is a good example. You know, I mean, these guys are getting paid obscene amounts of money when they're older, but you don't see this happen in the National League. You only see it happen in the American League because they have a kind of a safety net where they can play these guys at DH and help limit, you know, and preserve their bodies, I guess.
Fellas, favorite sports team manager, owner, not manager, owner of all time?
Ted Turner.
Sports team.
Like, Ted Turner.
Can we not allow Ted Turner?
Let's not allow obvious. Ted Turner then.
Okay. All right.
Well, I have to say Liberty Media since they pay us.
yeah, true. Who owned the Brooklyn Dodgers in 47?
I have no idea.
Larry McPhail.
Okay. I know Branch was.
And then Branch Rickey took over.
Branch owned him after he became, after he was GM?
Pretty sure. I'm actually reading Boys of Summer by Roger Kahn right now.
Oh, cool.
That's the only reason I had that on the top
of my I've always wanted to read that book.
Dude,
it's so I've bad. Got one called Bums. It's a history of the Brooklyn Dodgers. It's really good.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with the Brooklyn Dodgers. I'm not sure if you knew that.
Well, dude, you need to get Boys of Summer.
Okay, cool.
It's check it out. It's worth it. Golly, favorite owner of all time. Most owner. I mean, you gotta say Steinbrenner.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be up there for sure, right?
Yeah, I mean, as much as I hated him growing up because the Yankees, but that's the kind of dedication you want from your owner. I hated the fact that the Yankees would just go out and spend and spend, but he was so like dedicated to the Yankees being good.
Yeah,
you know, like the Yankees were not a side project. They weren't just an investment opportunity. They were his existence, you know, like in that kind of Jerry Jones type way, you know, like that was it. You know, it meant a lot for him to, the Yankees had to win.
Didn't the Indians,
he was competitive like that.
Didn't the Indians have some crazy manager back in the 40s and 50s who did crazy promotion nights? Was that the Indians?
You're thinking of Bill Veeck with the White Sox.
That's what I'm thinking of. He had like 50 cents.
Disco demolition night.
Yeah, that guy.
Stuff. Yeah.
That's my favorite of all time. Yeah. Bill Veeck.
Yeah, there's
I think he signed a midget or something too, right? Or was that a different team?
Did he do? Was that Eddie Gadel? He was the one that the
Eddie
guy,
Gadel
was like
Indians.
Five.
I think he was with. I think the Indians also had a zany kind of crazy owner.
I don't know,
but Bill Veeck, I think, would be probably my number one. Yeah.
Okay. As long as you didn't say Marge Schott, there really was no wrong answer here. I'm just being clear, you know.
I like guys like a Mark Cuban, like a guy who was like a bartender, then hit it rich in the tech boom, and he bought a basketball team just because he's a basketball fan.
Yeah.
And like sits front row and cheers hard and puts on a shirt.
I mean,
and,
you got to be up there with like, is Jerry Reinsdorf like one of the coolest owners of all time? Maybe not in baseball, but he's put together some pretty good baseball teams too over the years. The White Sox have been no slouch, you know. He's definitely brought Chicago several titles, be it basketball or baseball, either one.
Best eyes of any owner? Probably Derek Jeter, you know?
Mm. Arguable.
Probably the most handsome owner, definitely.
Yeah. You gotta kind of hand it to Jimmy. Not Jimmy. Jimmy Johnson was the coach. That's not the owner. Jerry Jones is the person I'm trying to think of.
Well, I mean, they've definitely underachieved for the past 25 years or so. Yeah. But I do like when an owner cares
too,
that
right.
much. Because as a Braves fan, our biggest gripe is like, golly, if like we could have somebody come in, Mark Cuban, you know, wanting to get in the baseball game and buy a baseball team. Because nothing sucks worse than being owned by a ownership group. I'm seeing Mets fans right now rejoice.
Well, that's where
Steve
this is
Cohen
all coming. Going to,
by the Mets.
Yes, Steve Cohen.
He's the richest owner now in baseball. The Mets can say we've got more money than anybody. Fair enough. And
they got their
stinks,
own George Steinbrenner. They basically got their own George Steinbrenner.
Yeah.
And
and that's got to be exciting, right? Like, that's got to be fun. Now, the Mets are going to screw this up. They're going to fail miserably.
I don't think they will. I think
that's
Cohen
be exciting.
Knows how to put together, and it may take him a year or two to get the right staff. But rich guys don't put up with incompetence very long. And let me take that back.
How long? Does he know
super
who his GM is?
Don't. Well, I mean, he inherited it, and rumor has it he may not keep him. So, like, I don't know how long Brody Van Wagenen is going to be around, you know.
I think Brody's done more to hurt Brody's employment opportunities than anyone else.
But John Henry's got to be up there with Boston. He's certainly turned that organization around. Magic Johnson. He's really put a positive influence there on the LA Dodgers. So,
dude, I mean, the guy, this is kind of off the beaten path, but Steve Ballmer bought the Clippers and literally sits front row and just high fives people. He's pumped up. Like, he's at every game, courtside, you know.
I didn't even get a laugh out of that joke. Come on. Like, no one even gave me any credit for that joke. That was a good joke, and you guys just let it go.
Yeah, sorry.
Dadgummit. Just saying.
Not going to do it.
Oh, I'm disappointed. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. But that being said, how bad does it suck that the Mets now have, like, that guy that'll go out and blow money left and right? I don't know. CBA will that.
Money has never been the Mets' problem.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. Well,
lack of funds.
Will Pine is an idiot, but.
Oh yeah, right. I mean, it's never been. Dude, they're a baseball team in New York. Money will be there.
But they haven't been a $220 million baseball team in New York. Like, they haven't been a luxury team in New York.
They just signed the wrong guys. I mean, remember when they signed Jason Bay to that ungodly contract? Or, they just signed the wrong dudes.
Remember David Wright playing third base for them for 15 years while being in a wheelchair?
Lack of stars has not been the Mets' problem.
I think that's the maddest I've ever made people at me on Twitter was saying that he should throw out the first pitch from his wheelchair at when the Mets were playing in San Francisco, and Braves fans got really mad at me. Come on. Like, he can't. He's not healthy. Like,
I don't know why.
Get it.
Oh no!
People got mad at you for that?
Oh yeah! Like, I got all kinds of DMs and added on Twitter, and that it was crude and horrible of me to make fun of the fact that he was hurt. I mean, okay. Hey, changing gears for a minute, fellas. Look, this may be the most important decision that you're going to make in the next 24 hours, Josh, JT, and that is this. There are two people in this choice, and one of them is quite old, and the other one's not necessarily young anymore. But I need to know who you guys are voting for in this thing. Are you team Gwen Stefani, or are you team Miranda Lambert now that Blake Shelton is engaged to Gwen?
I mean, I've always been team Miranda. I didn't know that was a thing. So.
He's now engaged to Gwen, though.
Yeah, I understand that.
Are you team Miranda be single, or and you just don't care about Blake? Or are you team Blake and Miranda, or team Blake and Gwen?
I'm having a hard time following, but I just think Miranda's way cooler and hotter than Gwen, and if I had to pick between Gwen or Miranda, I'd pick Miranda.
You really think she's hotter?
Miranda Lambert?
100%. There was a time when Gwen Stefani was an absolute smoke show.
Yeah, there was a time. 30 years ago.
Unfortunately, that time was 1996. Okay.
But, like, so look, though. Like, if you look, just type into your Google search Miranda Lambert and type.
Yeah, I watched, like, a live video of her on her front porch, like, a month ago. She's still smoking with no makeup.
I'm looking
She's
at
wearing
Miranda
flannel
Lambert and
in the woods.
I know you guys criticize my looks opinions, but
no, we criticize your opinions, Ken. You have the worst opinions.
Her face has gotten worse, man. She was really cute at one point, and now she's not very pretty anymore, guys.
I think you're crazy.
Look it up. Look it up right now.
Need to look it up. I follow her on YouTube. I watch videos of her kind of regularly, and she did a live thing maybe a month ago on her back porch, no makeup, flannel. Like, I'm in. I'm 100% in.
Okay. What, JT, what are your thoughts?
It takes a certain amount of gonads to divorce yourself from Miranda Lambert.
Yeah.
That's not a lady that I would like to serve papers to.
That's true.
By any stretch. That's true. She's a little crazy. Credit for Miranda Lambert. You know, she has a song where she literally says, "I'm pretty." What does it say? "I'm pretty from behind, kind of pretty in the face."
And I was does sing about shooting her lovers and, like, if you leave
shooting,
her, she'll shoot you.
So, Josh, I will give you this.
I saw her open for Kenny Chesney one time, and
Josh. If you take her out of makeup, she looks better than in makeup. She likes, like, to do this whole black thing with her eyes, like. Like, they're giant dark circles, and it looks terrible.
Recently, without makeup, and she looks so. I'm not basing my opinion on makeup. So, whatever. But
I'm just saying, like, that's the reason I said to Google it. Like, when I Google it, every picture of her has, like, a lot of like eye makeup, and it makes her eyes look weird. And then like suddenly I'm like scrolling down and I found one where she's not wearing any makeup. I'm like, she looks a lot better without makeup. She should stop doing that to her eyes because she looks really strange.
So would you pick Gwen over Miranda, so, like in 2020?
So, okay, here's the thing about...
Or do you just want to be contrary?
No. I just want to talk about it.
You just want to be contrary.
No. Who do you think is freakier, Gwen or Miranda? Because, like, I'm kind of on the Gwen side. Like, she seems like the girl that would...
I mean, if you're into Gwen freaky grannies, like, that's fine.
Gwen seems...
She's got a granny butt.
I don't know about that, but I don't really look at her butt either. So, I mean, I don't watch The Voice with her on it. I just, like, you know. Anyway.
Miranda lets you do weird stuff to her. There's no doubt. Are y'all into the Pistol Annies? Yeah. Have y'all listened to Pistol Annies? Yeah, they're awesome.
Dude,
they're
let me
really
tell you
awesome,
something
man.
About Freaky Girls. And this doesn't go outside of this podcast.
Okay.
No one's listening. It's
here
cool.
we go.
So, the freakiest girls are always the quiet, sweet girls who you don't think are freaky.
Not always.
Okay. JT, thoughts?
No, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Absolutely. I think that it's because...
It's the sweet church girls, man.
Listen, Gwen Stefani was kind of a hot rock chick when I was like 13 years old. So I think I kind of worn myself out on Gwen Stefani, if you know what I mean. I think, too... I've seen so many people say that country star Blake Shelton, and I'm like, I can't put a single fingerprint on what is country about Blake Shelton other than he sings pop music with a southern accent. Like, am I wrong on this?
I think he's a country guy.
I think he's country.
I don't think he's like a good country music singer by any means, but I do think he's a country guy.
So
he's a zillionaire now, and you know, but I think
here's my take on Blake Shelton.
I think he's country.
I think Blake,
he hadn't had a country song since old.
Was going to be one of the best country music artists of our lifetime. And I think Blake Shelton figured out he could make a lot more money not being the greatest country music artist of our lifetime and instead being the best pop country crossover artist of our lifetime.
Yeah, you just described every male country artist of the last 15
most of them don't have the talent to actually be the best. I actually think Blake had the writing ability. I think he had the vocal ability. And I think he knew country music history well enough to do it. Like, he had enough of that Waylon Willie in his blood to kind of like pull that off. And perfect example, the song Chew Tobacco Spit, right? Half that song,
terrible.
Hang on.
Not the name of the
song. Half that song is really well written. Hang on.
All right, I'm
before leaving. You puke on me, Josh. Let me finish this.
See you, JT.
Before you puke on me, half that JT, song
we,
is
JT. We have to intervene. We can't let him hang himself.
No,
like this.
Let me finish the statement.
Let's go.
I can't let you.
Let's see where this. I'm interested to see where
I
this
care
goes.
About him. He's my friend. He is my friend. He's done so much for this podcast.
Okay. All right. Can you were saying that the song "Boys Around Here" was well written?
I said half of the song.
He took me to a nice steakhouse once.
So half of the verses are well written, and then he goes into the chorus, and the chorus is like, "Hey, I really don't want to be good at music. I want to suck enough to make it on the pop radio stations with a terrible hook." And that's what he decided at the course. But the verse, let me just read you the verse without the stupid hook and without everything. Well, the boys around here don't listen to the Beatles. Run old Bo Cephas through a jukebox needle. At a honky-tonk where their boots stomp all night. What? That's a stupid line. He should have put that in there. Yeah, and what they call work, digging in the dirt. Got to get it in the ground before the rain comes down. To get paid, that line's stupid too. Anyway, parts of this song are okay written. Like, you're kind of like, that could...
Ken, yeah, I like the part Ken. Where he says, where that, ain't a damn one of them know how to do the
dougie. Yeah, that part's stupid. That's what I'm saying, though. Like, part of this song, I like it though. Lyrically, if you put it with, like, a whole different beat and take out all the stupidity, the lyrics aren't that bad until you get to the chorus.
I agree. Also, if you take out the stupid parts, he's not that bad. Unfortunately, Ken.
He didn't write the song, Ken.
And you can't just take out the stupid parts.
Okay.
He didn't even write the song. Rhett Atkins wrote the song with Dallas Davidson and Craig Wiseman, whoever those
are. Yeah, that's Thomas Rhett's dad.
Rhett Atkins is actually a pretty good guitarist, right?
Rhett Atkins.
Yeah, and he probably...
Kiss my country ass. Atkins, probably makes Rhett Atkins. That ain't my truck.
Bank on writing really terrible country songs like this one.
All right, can we just say this? All right, worst Blake Shelton song is Austin.
I think it's the one that Ken just waxed philosophical
about. No, no, no. I agree. That song's absolutely horrible. I'm not defending that song in the least. I'm saying that song is like an example of why Blake Shelton sucks. Is like there's a piece of it that seems like it's honoring the Bo Cephas and like old Jukebox Needles and all this kind of stuff. Like there's this piece of it that you're like, you know, you just, I kind of like that's old country pop part. And then it's like, but here's a whole lot of crap to be poured on top of it to make people that aren't country want to listen to it. You know?
You think Blake Shelton will come on the podcast?
No, not for even. He wouldn't come on this show for $1 million. Just saying.
Well, if the podcast name was Gwen Stefani.
Wow.
Never mind. No, if you're going to be a country singer, stop hosting The Voice. I mean, what are you doing? You wouldn't see Keith Whitley hosting The Voice.
That's true.
Just saying.
I will admit, though, that there have been... I haven't watched it in probably 3 years, but there was a minute where I got into The Voice.
I'll say this.
It was,
Blake Shelton's pretty dang good.
There were seasons
at,
when it's well done.
Blake Shelton's pretty dang good at picking talent.
He's hilarious.
He's pretty dang good at being a personality and picking talent.
It's also entertaining. Yeah. He's also really funny. Like his personality and the way that whole, the producers probably paired him with Adam Levine. It's honestly, it's actually pretty good.
I saw an interview with Reba McEntire talking about Blake Shelton, and she honestly, this was not like a pump piece for Blake. This is like a seriously interview, and Reba McEntire said this was like 15 years ago, like before Blake really jumped the shark and went full pop. Okay, and she said, I think Blake Shelton has the potential to be the greatest country music artist I've ever seen. She said, I've sat down with him and we've sang together and he knows every old song, every word, like he's got the basis for it. And he did. And then just, he gave it all up to be rich.
Reba McEntire is a cross-eyed bullfrog. Doesn't know what she's talking about. She hasn't been good since he was in Tremors with Bert. All right,
I'm going. Josh,
this lady sang a duet.
Sorry.
She sang a duet with Vince Gill. Okay. And she's going to say Blake Shelton can be the best country singer of all time.
Hey, whoa. You're throwing shade at Vince Gill. Are you throwing shade?
I'm saying this lady had a duet with Vince Gill. And she's saying that Blake Shelton, come on, lady. What's wrong with
Vince
you?
Vince Gill's also, not the greatest
I think that,
singer of all time either.
So. He's one of them.
Reba's kind of overrated.
Agreed. She looks like a possum. Her voice is not that great.
She had The Lights Went Out in Georgia and Fancy. Take those two out, and what's her catalog?
The Man, Down the Hall.
I do like the New England song.
Yeah.
That's a good song.
There's a ton of good Reba songs.
Fancy, she was a whore. She was a whore.
Also, and then she went on to have that terrible TV show. Like the cheesiest, maybe the gayest show of all time.
Do your wives like watching Reba?
I love Reba.
Thinks it's great.
Your wife
she thinks it's Seinfeld.
Shut up.
Yeah, she thinks she's watching Seinfeld. Like, she's watching one of the greatest sitcoms.
I thought only, like, grannies watched Reba.
I watched Reba. I loved Reba. I thought it was a great show. But it is stupid. I mean, it's totally stupid, but it's a fun show.
Mallory watches Reba?
She thinks it's on par with, like, Cheers and MASH and, like, the greatest TV shows ever.
Stop!
Like, Reba? Why? It was on, like, the WB or something. Like, who watches this? It's on like UPN. I don't even know what it was on. Like, who watches Reba?
I imagine Mallory watching Reba, reading some Reader's Digest, you know, listening to some I don't even know. Reba.
I did like Reba and Tremors, though.
I just imagine Mallory having like a dinner tray.
Watching her Reba.
Like watching Reba.
Watch my Reba. Then she watches like the Rockford Files and goes to bed. Like, how old are you? She asked me, she did ask me the other night. She said, hey, is the Dukes of Hazzard on Netflix? We need to watch all the Dukes of Hazzard. It's like, what year do you live in?
Mm. Now, that's respectable. I can tell you
every Dukes of Hazzard episode, just like.
Also, the Dukes of Hazzard will never be on Netflix.
No.
Also, never. I saw the General Lee last weekend in Canton, Georgia, in my dad's neighborhood. It drove by me, but it wasn't the real one because it didn't have the rebel flag on the roof. So
yeah, so that was just a Dodge Charger poster.
Yeah, well, it had the 01 and like the it had like the name on the top of the like above the door, you know. But yeah, no flag. What a loser.
And the coexist bumper sticker really didn't mesh.
I think Ken has quit the podcast, folks, because we have blasphemed the holy Reba McEntire spirit.
No, no, I don't care.
Thou shalt not blaspheme Reba on this show.
No, you're not bothering me. Josh, you really think that's the straw that's going to break the camel's back?
Yeah, probably not.
Oh, man. Anyway.
Reba is overrated, though.
Yeah. Okay. I disagree. Speaking of...
I just love that her biggest song is her being a prostitute.
What? You really think that's her biggest song? Fancy?
Fancy?
Yes.
Probably. Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
It might be.
Name a bigger Reba song than Fancy.
The only Maybe one you bring Georgia. Up is her yeah, her cover of The Lights Went Out in Georgia, which is also not a great song.
Hmm. Okay.
Or the theme song to Reba.
See, but y'all don't give Reba enough credit. Like, does he love you? Is there life out there?
Is there life out there? That's the one I was thinking. Is there life out there?
The greatest
life beyond
the greatest man,
family and her home.
The greatest man I never knew. You know, live right down the hall. Or
she's
whatever.
Done what she should. Should she do what she dares? She doesn't want to leave.
What was the New England song? What was the one? Is there someone in New England?
Someone in New England.
I'm a survivor. Y'all remember that one?
Wait. Gloria Gaynor?
Going out.
Oh, that's I Will Survive.
That. Somebody. Ooh, somebody.
I don't even.
Somebody someday.
That's Travis Tritt.
Oh, you're right.
Ken, that's Travis Tritt.
Wrong song. She did have a song called Somebody. I just thought that was the one that was what popped in my
Also,
head.
Shout out to Travis Tritt, Twitter account, for being on fire this week. Trump 2020.
Little Rock.
Yeah, Little Rock. Oh, Little Rock.
Wait, that was Colin Ray. There's two songs about Little yep. Rock.
Little Rock. I love the bass line.
I like Colin Ray's version because he... Per the song, Colin Ray moved to Little Rock to sell VCRs at Walmart.
Yeah, that was...
Which I think is a legit reason to move to another city. I got a job selling VCRs.
In that song called Whoever's in New England, that's the song you were trying to think of.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
If whoever's in New England's through with you.
Yeah. Josh,
it's not too late.
Josh, you are flatter than our spiritual advisor right now.
I used to... Whoa, that's a low blow. That is a low blow. Also, I used to tweet that video of that song when Braves Twitter wanted to get Kimbrel back. And literally nobody got the joke. I was so offended.
No.
Speaking of overrated redheads, how's Craig Kimbrel doing?
I think he actually improved before the end of the year.
Doesn't he play for the Cubs?
He did, yeah. I guess he still does. Hey, speaking of which, we'll wrap up on this note. Weird offseason so far in baseball. Colton Wong's option declined. Brad Hand's option declined. $10 million options. They seem kind of like no-brainers. Brad Hand, one of the best closers in baseball. Yeah. Colton Wong, top 5 second baseman.
There's a lot of teams that could use a hand.
The Braves being one of them. This it does feel like you're going to see a lot of players that normally would not be on the free agent market out there. I think some of this is because they're not sure if they're going to play baseball next year. I mean, if Joe Biden gets elected, and he does shut the country down again, full hardcore, then, like, I can see a case where PR does not allow them to have any baseball next year.
Yeah.
So
I think that. Sorry, go ahead, JT.
No, I was just going to say something stupid.
Oh, well, I was too.
I was just going to ask if Ken thought the Cardinals letting him go was the wrong decision.
Oh, yeah.
So all the Republicans I know, for the most part, they joke about, like, if Biden wins, COVID will be canceled.
Yeah.
And I think the complete opposite is going to happen if Biden wins.
You think it'll be like a
big deal? To your point.
Yeah. I do. I think at this point he would have to do something about it. I don't know how long that something would last, you know. So that's where it gets a little weird. But
I think we'd be looking at lockdowns like we did in March, but much longer.
Which worse. Which makes no sense. But anyway, yeah, I'm not trying.
I agree.
I'm not trying to even be super political here. I'm just saying I truly think with baseball, if Biden goes into office, I think you see like a hardcore lockdown, and I think then PR
I agree.
Doesn't allow them to have a baseball season. I think if Trump goes back in, there's a good chance of baseball season next year.
Why doesn't baseball just take the same printout that I've seen on my local barbecue joint here in Bibb County that says, hey, when you step foot in these premises, you accept the risk that you might get COVID. And deal with it. All it takes is printing out a piece of paper and taping it on the wall. Say, hey, when you buy your ticket and you, attend these games, you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it. And if you want to show up, cool. If not, that's cool too, man.
And then we have baseball. Have we even had a chance to talk about Justin Turner? I don't remember if we actually did or not.
We have not. No. Mm-mm. Yeah.
We did not actually. We talked about in the group text, but. The hand wringing going on, like this decision just irresponsible, and I'm like, he literally played 8 innings, at least with COVID. Maybe he had COVID the whole game before, so that's 17 innings that he's played with COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
Next to all these guys in the dugout with these guys, hanging out at the hotel bar after the game with these guys. At that point. Now, granted, he is giving the middle finger to MLB protocol, and he's saying, basically, rage against the machine, F you, I won't do what you tell me, I'm coming out, whatever, that's fine. That, he can get in trouble for, I get that. Because they told him to do one thing, he did the other. Fair enough. But he's not putting anyone at any additional risk.
I'm sorry, if I'm in his exact situation, there's no way I'm not getting back on that field. You just won a freaking World Series.
That was his argument.
Absolutely. You won a freaking World Series with these guys who we've lived and breathed together. And there's no season after this. And we're all in perfect health. You know, so it's like,
there's no symptoms. You feel great. You call BS. You call BS.
And I've already
CDC has said that 46% of people who test positive are asymptomatic. Now, saying that should not be synonymous with, you know, like not caring about people's lives. But unfortunately it is. If you say these things on Twitter, people think that like, dude, I almost got canceled 3 days ago because I tweeted that I thought Trevor Lawrence is going to be fine.
Yeah, I saw that. And then Trevor Lawrence posted that he thought he was going to be fine.
and Michael Kelly was like, you know, how could you joke about this? And I quoted Michael Kelly. I'm like, I'm sorry for thinking that Trevor Lawrence is going to be okay based on CDC data. And I posted like a link to the data with like the 99.998%.
And he's a 20-year-old man in great health.
Right. Like,
I'll take
what I'm saying
you
is,
know what I mean? If you're Trevor Lawrence, you're like,
people are so crazy about COVID has broken people's brains to mush so much that if you just like say that, if you just point out the obvious that, he's asymptomatic. What kind of virus have we had in the past that's like asymptomatic? Like, y'all have lost your minds. The data is it's not even like Breitbart. It's not Fox. Like, Tucker Carlson does not run CDC.org, y'all. You can go to their website and the numbers are there.
These are just numbers.
And it's positive. It's data. Like, it's like, yes, a lot of people have died, but the pandemic, according to the CDC, actually ended in July, they were like, okay, guys, death numbers are like plummeting. We're going to lower the threshold or like the pandemic status Nobody talked about it except for like three people, like Rush Limbaugh and two rednecks in Bama, you know, talked about it. You know what I mean? We have lost our minds. And so when a guy like Justin Turner, like he's fine. He literally is. He discovers he has COVID in the eighth inning. You have to first of all, you have to discover that you're sick. What?
Right. And that's what I don't get. Like, Doug, I love you in House of Cards. But honestly, what a healthy college athlete, athlete, a guy who's probably the number one pick in the NFL draft,
right,
gets COVID. What are we concerned about? Well, like, he's a healthy 20-year-old. If anybody can beat this with no problem, it's an asymptomatic 20-year-old collegiate athlete. Michael
pointed out that he was concerned about his grandparents. But here's the thing. All these guys are supposed to basically be living in a bubble anyway. So,
yeah.
Yeah, he shouldn't be around his grandparents. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of the whole point. Dude,
Trevor Lawrence is 20. His grandparents are like 50. They're not even old yet. He's so young.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of weird, but
even if you are,
again,
even if,
I don't
like,
know his grandparents.
Here's the thing too, like,
you know,
and let's not talk about COVID too much because people are probably tired of this. But like, here, like, this is CDC, literally CDC, like, new data, not like March data. This is new data. So even his grandparents, right? His grandparents are probably like in their mid late 60s, maybe 99.5% survival rate amongst infected of those. That's comorbidities, you know what I mean? So it's the data is all there. No one talks about it because COVID. It's
and a lot of people.
And I really do think.
I mean, I personally know people that died from it. So like, I understand and have empathy for the other side of it as well. But it does seem like some common sense could go a long way on both sides.
But you have like a person like, and Michael's a good example. Unfortunately, because you know we love Michael, but there's a lot of people like Michael that honestly, they can't compartmentalize their disdain for Trump with this. Like, you know what I mean? So it just taints their whole perception. You can't show them data. They don't care because Trump doesn't wear a mask. They think he doesn't take this seriously. And so if you say something like, I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be okay based on CDC data, you're like the worst person ever because in their brain, you have just sided with Trump, who in their brain is the worst person to ever live. You know what I mean? Yeah. You just can't talk to these people.
I mean, yeah, I don't get. I mean, I would bet. Okay, if he disagrees with your statement that Trevor Lawrence be okay, then I would take a cash bet as to whether or not Trevor Lawrence perishes from COVID. And he's got Hollywood money. I would say, all right, put your money where your mouth is. Give me $5,000 that says Trevor Lawrence will succumb to COVID.
Well, I mean, I think his point. I'm playing devil's advocate here for you, just so there's something to talk about. But I think and this is where it gets where we can't have conversations about it because it does get so insane. But I think what he was saying is if we are nonchalant and flippant about it all the time, there's a lot of real people dying from it. And the nonchalantness and the flippantness about it seems disrespectful to those people that are dying. That's at least the way he's framing his comments about what you said, Josh. There is a side of that that I can see and understand. There's also a part of me that says facts don't care about your feelings or if the fact that it bothers you. You know,
here's the side of me, Michael. If you don't comment on any of my Brinley pictures or videos or baseball takes, but if I say one thing about COVID and you always come out of your little, you know, Doug Stamper, you know, Manhattan, you know, gluten-free apartment and correct me about COVID, but you don't ever engage on anything else, then you're a freaking doo-doo head and you kiss my butt.
Oh, okay. There you go. Wow. That simple.
Well, Michael Kelly will no longer be coming on the show.
Probably.
We'll put him down with Blake Shelton, Reba McEntire, and Tony La Russa in our no longer future guest
category.
I guess
I'm going to be editing this podcast is what it comes down to. Josh is going to be texting me at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're going to need to cut that out, Ken, because I really didn't mean all
I
that exactly.
Literally do not care. Also, I'm sure Michael does not listen to this podcast anymore. I promise you.
Yeah. Well, nothing else of much importance happening this week, fellas. It could just be the end of the world for everyone. Here's the good news, fellas, is, you know, people responded to a poll that said that Tuesday could be the most, what was the words that they used? Most controversial, I don't know if that's the right word, controversial thing that's ever happened to them in their lifetime. And I and for all those people out there that say that, you want to swap lives? Like, I'll be real happy if you want to, like, there's a lot worse things than a presidential election going a different direction than you think that matter. And if you're a Republican and Joe Biden wins, let me inform you, it is not the end of the world. If you are a Democrat and Donald Trump wins, let me also inform you, it is not the end of the world. You may not like a lot of things that happen, and there may be a lot of things you have to vote for and try to change in your life at other points in time. That being said, it's still not the end of the world. Please keep your panties on, unless you're, you know, getting laid so that you're not freaking out. And then, you know, take a deep breath and relax and realize life goes on and that everyone around you is not filled with hate and venom the way the world wants you to, the way the media wants you to think they are. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's weird. I had who I thought was a friend of mine tell me that dressing up my son as Trump for Halloween was extremely dark.
I saw that. So. I saw that.
Yeah.
What I thought it was the greatest thing I've ever seen.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
He pulled it off well, too. His little cute.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
He's so cute. That's a cute kid, man.
Yeah. I appreciated what you said, though, that he actually went as Joe and Trump because he did have a diaper on. That's going to do it for today's Knock on the Nation. Thanks for listening. Hey, if you are educated and have any idea what you're doing, go vote tomorrow. If you don't know the candidates from a hole in the ground, please don't vote. It's okay. You can let people who have a brain vote, and life will go on. You know, just saying.
I think Democrats vote Wednesday. I read an article about that on BuzzFeed. So if you're a Democrat, vote Wednesday at your local library.
Ah,
so,
there you go. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
I'm just quoting BuzzFeed, guys.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Maybe.
Thanks for listening to Nakahoma Nation, the nation's leading replacement-level ill-informed podcast. If you'd like more information, you can check out NakahomaNation.com. You can follow them on Twitter at NakahomaNTN, or you can find Nakahoma Nation on Facebook. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, please visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. Special thanks to Nakahoma Nation spiritual advisor John D. Howard, research assistant Braves Options Guy, and Nakahoma Nation intern Caleb Payne. Have a great week. Call your mom, stay hydrated, and keep it between the ditches, bitches.